The more you have faith, the more you trust in the way things will unfold when you intentionally move towards them, but hold everything delicately, the more magical it will be.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Live Into Your Brilliance podcast, the place where we shine a light on the innate brilliance of human beings and have a ton of fun blowing up the thought-created illusions that get in our way. This is a non-guest episode. It is myself and Billows post our CEO gathering, which just took place last week in beautiful New Hampshire. My first experience of seeing New England in the autumn, and it was spectacular. And so we're looking forward to sharing some of what's emerged from there. But before I do that, obviously, it's time to say hello to the man himself, Billows. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, it was lovely spending time with you last week and hosting you here. And I'm really chuffed that you got to see New England in the fall in all its gold and orange and red and yellows. Yeah, and we had a spectacular time up in New Hampshire with seven amazing founders. And I can't wait to dive into this week's topic, because I think it's a great one. And the way in which we surrendered to the universe and magic happened.
Yeah, man. Well, like, and I think that's the place maybe to start, and we can just over and back on it, because as we said, we're not going to share any of the necessarily the details of what was covered in the event itself, but this is more what's opening up to us, the insights that we've had off the back of these events. And even that is one of the things that I so enjoy. You know, we talk on here about how we don't have the answers. And, you know, last week was just the perfect illustration of the truth of that, like not having the answers and then also having the gift through showing up. And it's amazing what you see for yourself. And I love when that happens, whether it's an event like last week or in a conversation with you, or it can be a conversation with a client, and you suddenly realize, oh, this was there to teach me. And I just love that. Whether a client becomes my teacher, you become my teacher, the universe is always the mother of all teachers, just kind of orchestrating these things to say, I'm going to make sure that everyone sees exactly what they need to see for themselves. And they might be, and they often are, more often than not, they're entirely different things for everybody, which is just very cool. So like maybe, I don't know, if you want to kick off with like, because, you know, we were chatting just before we came on, and it's kind of an interesting point to start, because in one sense, people might think, oh, so like, when did this get born? And in one sense, it got born about 3 or 4 months ago. In another sense, it got born a long time ago. So do you want to kind of kick us off with what you were seeing there?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, in a second, I'll just create some context for the listener, around the event itself. Just so that folks tuning in know exactly what we're talking about. But in the spirit of the format of our podcast, like the illusion I'd like to blow up is that when you identify something that you want to go after, or something that you desire, something that you'd like to create, then you have to go in pursuit of that wholeheartedly and be maniacal about making it happen, even if things seem kind of stacked against you. And I just think that's nonsense. And it's not to say that you don't work hard at making your dreams come true. You absolutely do. But I think through the course of this conversation, we will illustrate the power of having an inkling or having an idea of something you'd like to create, putting it out into the universe, And then taking one foot and putting it in front of the other and beginning that journey of 1,000 miles with that first step without rushing the goalie, without doing unnatural things, but knowing that it's still out there and it still holds true for you and it still feels good and you are incrementing your way there with the help of some pretty powerful forces. And so I hope that that ramble becomes crystal clear through the course of this conversation. So just to create a little bit of context, so Al and I hosted 7 founders for a 2-day, 3-night retreat. And these folks came from all over. So we had one from Holland, we had one from the UK, and then we had one from New Hampshire who was local, which was wonderful. And then we had 4 from across North America, the US. And this 2-day event was all about exploring the human condition and the nature of the human condition. Because as we've said many times on this podcast, we fundamentally believe that in order to transform your organization, your family life, your existence, you have to transform yourself. And so that is the first principle thinking that we bring to these conversations with founders, and they prove to be incredibly powerful conversations. And I think I'm not betraying any of our 7 attendees when I say that they all walked away with something quite special, and they all saw something that is going to keep them curious for quite some time. So the genesis of this, glibly, was, like you said, 4 months ago, where we said, hey, you know, that thing, like, we think it's time. You know, we've been doing a lot of group work. We've been doing a lot of work with teams. We've been doing a lot of work with individuals, but we think it's time to pull a whole group of founders together. But really, it started 6 years ago. And you and I went to Edinburgh to attend the farewell send-off of Pete Campbell, our dear friend, who was the CFO at Mimecast and was had decided to leave the business and go in search of new adventures. And he had been this incredible steward who'd led us through, you know, seed and Series A, Series B, C and IPO and everything else, and had been this amazing friend, colleague, foil. And so we attended this send-off. But while we were there, Al, in his infinite wisdom, goes, hey, I think we should just spend some time together exploring the art of the possible. Like, what is on offer if you and I decide to do something together one day? And so you went and booked a room in one of the Regis buildings in Edinburgh, and we had a whiteboard. And I think we had just hiked up Arthur's Seat that morning. And we'd had this amazing hike up in the Scottish upland, and then we kind of rolled up our sleeves and we got to work, and we started to imaginate and dream and sketch and get excited, and we distinctly, both of us, remember sort of saying, wouldn't it be wonderful one day to have a place in the woods where we could take founders and we could sit around and we could have conversations around, and I don't think we even had the language at the time, you know, the state of the human condition, or but we could sit around and have conversations around the self, and we could really kind of make them see that in order to transform their teams and lead their organizations, they had to start with themselves in order to be effective leaders, managers, and coaches. And that was, we kind of put it out there. We laughed about it. We thought it was a wonderful idea, but we had no idea if it would come true. And then we went our separate ways, and we just kept putting up one foot in front of the other. And you started a business, you closed a business, you started a different business. I quit my job, started a different business. But we kept sort of interweaving. And then it ultimately led to the birth of this podcast, over a year ago. We continued our work with teams. We continued our work with individuals. And then, lo and behold, the first Live Into Your Brilliance founder retreat happened. And then we both kind of sat there at the end of it and we were like, how the hell did that happen? And what went on?
And there is the question. That's the question, because I remember, well, so that's beautifully told, because the bit that made us both smile when we were sat around the breakfast bar in New Hampshire, I think we were just trying to remember what was the thing that we were talking about, and I think it was this, how everything that happened between Edinburgh and, you know, the dates last week, whatever it was, the kind of 12th to the 15th or the 10th to the 14th, whatever it is, of October, every single one of those things had to happen exactly how they happened in order for us to end up exactly where we were. But if you tried to predict any of it, it would have been impossible. You know, it just would have been impossible. And so, like, the how did it happen is that's kind of the nub of the question. Like, how does something that we get excited about creating move from being an idea in our minds to suddenly being in form in the world? Because I think you've quite beautifully pointed to the illusion, which is, you know, and it kind of sits with the, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. Like, the illusion is that if you want something, then it's up to you to go and create it. You must go and make it happen. Now, we could have done that back in Edinburgh. And you know what? Like, I can't even remember how, like, the months followed after that, because I do remember us feeling so excited about it that I have a sneaking suspicion that we thought it was going to be like, yeah, you know, we'll do X and Y, and, you know, this thing could happen within a shorter order. Like, I would imagine we didn't know back then that, you know, the bun was going to be in the oven for five, six years before it went bing. It's now perfectly ready. So, but it does strike me that at some point, or even back then, we must have been holding it lightly enough that we were able to accept the level of excitement that we had, accept the connection that we had to it, and then not over-rotate on the idea that we must make it happen. And the illusion that I think, or maybe not so much the illusion, but I think it's the kind of trap. And it sits around one of the things we talk about, which is attachments. You know, when we go from the open hand to the tight fist, and you know, we talk about holding the butterfly lightly. Like in this case, it's holding the idea that you have that you're excited about lightly enough that, you know, you're still connected to it, but not gripping it so tightly that you crush it in the palm of your hand. And I think that the trap is this. I think that there's a lot of us that fall into the trap of believing that somehow holding onto the outcome really tightly is going to enable us to perform better at making it happen. That's one of the keys. Like, no, like there's got to be pressure and, you know, it's got to be hard. And you know, if it's hard, then it's going to be worthwhile. And there's that thing. And I hear it all the time. People say, no, you know, like stress and pressure, that's quite good for me because that's what makes me do stuff. And I'm like, I'm not so sure that's true. Like, I find that the most powerful feeling I have is the feeling of excitement. And any time that we've connected with this idea, which we've done it more than once, Edinburgh is the first time I think we both remember it. But any time we've come back to it and been like, fuck yeah, man, that's exciting. It's someday. And it amazes me. It always had the same things. We always talked about it. It'll be in nature and it'll be in like we'll be in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And it's going to be so far removed from, you know, the idea of tradition. And there's so many of those elements that I'm like, wow, they just showed up. And yet we didn't really make it happen, you know? Like, I had to go through whatever I was going through in order to kickstart again with my coach, Christy. I had to have the conversation with her around, well, like, what's stale and what's fresh in your life? And I was like, well, these things are stale. So it was like, well, what are you going to do with them? I was like, well, I guess I just said goodbye to those things. And then it was like, what's fresh that I wasn't operating on? And this was one of the things that jumped out. I was like, you know, this always feels so fresh. And then I started this experiment with Christy. Was, well, what would it be like if that was your guiding light? Like, anything that feels fresh and exciting, you just take a step towards, and anything that feels stale, you just let it go. And that was what led me to go to you and say, hey, you remember this thing we've always talked about? What about now? But I wouldn't have done that without having had a conversation with Christy, which was nothing to do with this. And the conversation with Christy was born out of something which had nothing to do with this. And that's what blows my mind. It's like, that's the bit. I don't really know how to capture that other than you either have faith in the great unfolding or perhaps you don't. But I think the great unfolding is a part of the innate brilliance of the design, and there's a real opportunity to see that again and again, and it takes a load off. So I'm going to pause there because it's triggering me to go someplace else, but I want to kind of throw the ball back into your court because I think there's a real value in just actually hearing each other's impressions of this and the moments that we see, because I actually am really enjoying listening to you recount the tale as it looks from through your eyes.
Yeah, and I think you raise a really interesting point around the nature of this lightning path. And I think the more you fall into your awareness about what excites you, what gets your juices flowing, what is something that you'd like to move towards, the more you intuitively see these moments pop up. And what I mean by that is, as you go through your day, when I think you are awake, the universe sort of keeps putting things in front of you. The great unfolding happens. And this is where, you know, you often talk about free will. This is where you either decide, hey, I see it, and you can have a chuckle about it, and then you decide, like, am I going to take a step towards that, or am I going to pass that one by? And I have these moments all the time now. And I think I always did have them, but I didn't kind of have language for it, and I didn't see it as clearly. But now I will meet somebody, and they will say something, and I will immediately get excited about something I've seen in that conversation, and then I'm aware, like, oh, am I going to take a step towards that? Am I going to go on that lightning path because it feels good? Or it's like, no, actually, I see that, but I'm choosing not to go there. I'm going to go somewhere else. The amazing thing is the more you hold your unfolding like a butterfly gently, and you don't grind to powder that poor creature in an attempt to grasp firmly onto what you hope will happen. The lighter you feel, and the more you see in terms of what's on offer. And I'm trying not to make this sound too out of reach or ethereal. I want to try and ground this a little bit for the listener. So here are some great examples. So Al arrives on the Wednesday, and he's like, hey, shall we go shopping? You know? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think we can go shopping when we get to New Hampshire. Well, you know, and Vanessa had said to me, like, Billows, you've got to have like a meal plan. You've got to have a menu. And I was like, no, I'm just going to surrender that to the universe. And so Al and I drive up and we go for a lovely walk on Wednesday morning. We did a little stroll down the rail trail. And then we discussed various elements of the agenda and bits and pieces, which was really useful, actually. It was like the perfect time to spend together to kind of iron out some kinks. Get in the car, we drive up to New Hampshire, have this lovely drive, and I took us on a meandering route. We arrive at Kearsarge Food Hub in Bradford, New Hampshire. We have a lovely lunch, and then we kind of both look around, and we're sitting in a food market, and we're like, oh shit, everything we need is right here. And so right there and then, you and I plan the meals. We purchase the most amount of food anybody's ever purchased in that market ever. And we are back at the venue, which Peter and Vicky Bauer very kindly allowed us to use their beautiful New Hampshire compound. And we're like, by 2:30, we've got everything sorted. And our guests are only arriving somewhere like 5 to 7. And so we had this amazing, amazing setup. We had these amazing meals that we prepared, and then one of the most incredible things happened on day one, where we had our first session after our morning walk. We went on these gorgeous morning walks at 7 a.m. and it was really lovely because we gave people a question to contemplate, and they're chatting in pairs and getting to know each other. And then after breakfast, we had our first session, and then we went and had lunch, and we had a special guest, which we'll talk about in a second. And then we decamped from lunch, and we went up to this beautiful farm, which is the farm that the Kearsarge Food Hub have hidden in the woods of Bradford, New Hampshire. And unbeknownst to us, they had created this sort of what they call the amphitheater, which was this lovely seating area around an open fire, because I thought we were just going to be sitting in the little farm school building. And so we sat around an open fire, and the head farmer, Pierre, arrives and introduces himself and gives everybody a bit of a tour. And as we get the conversation going, he chimes in and says, oh, you know what we do? Every hour on the hour, we all stop and we take a pause, we take a sacred pause, and we concentrate on our breathing, and we concentrate on the wind and on the leaves and on the beautiful surroundings, so that we consciously pull ourselves back to the present, fall into our awareness, and stop focusing on the noise in our head. Now, you and I did not plan Pierre's participation. We did not plan for him to say anything. But at the exact right moment, he put something into the group which exponentially deepened everybody's grounding and enriched the conversation. And I mean, that was just such a simple example of how when you hold things lightly and you fall into the unfolding, like magic after magic after magic happens. And I know Mavis gets mad when you say things like magic. She's like, no, it's not magic. It's just the way things are. But I love it because for me, it is magic. Like just witnessing it. And I mean, you and I looked at each other across that fire pit and we just had this wry smile because we were like, holy shit, there it is again.
Yeah. Well, like, because I get what Mavis is saying. Like it isn't magic because it's the way things work, but it does freaking feel magical. And I'm all down for feeling like I love the fact that the way that we're designed to be and the way it appears like the actual universe is designed to work looks and feels like magic. And I'll tell you why it looks and feels like magic, because we can't explain it. And therein lies like the question of being like, whoa, how do you explain that? And well, like, why did it happen that way? And I'm like, I have no freaking idea. I have no idea how it works, really. Like, we're doing our best to kind of point to what we see. But like, it just works that way. Because we all see it over and over again. But, you know, if you want to know how and why it works, then we have to become like experts in 13.8 billion years of unfoldings to kind of get our heads wrapped around it. I'll tell you what, just riffing off what you said, because like for me, it is, yes, it's holding it lightly and it's the great unfolding, but it is the power of leaving space for magic to happen. And, you know, like I know, and on our walk, you know, and I'd said to you before, like I'm a recovering holder honor is how I like to think about myself. Like getting more and more practiced in the art of letting go. But I was saying to you, hey, Billows, like, cause you were getting some of the supplies in cause it made more sense for you to do it. And cause you were stateside, like, can you get some flip charts ordered and some pens, and we'll just make sure we got some whiteboards there. Cause part of me was thinking, you know, cause it's our job to, we've got to bring the content, like we've got to bring stuff, you know? And even on our walk that morning, it's like, what do you think? And then we're like, and I think I'd said to you, you know, I'd love to not do it. But for me, and you were like, fuck that. Like, I don't ever want to do it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Cause it felt like more to me, it felt like, oh my God, this is what I would love, but I feel uncomfortable. And I wanted to share that because I think it captures sometimes the essence of what we're talking about. I was like, I'd love to just leave it open and to have trust that it will go where it needs to go. But there's a part of me that's thinking, maybe we should put stuff in. And the walk was the perfect walk because we both agreed. We're like, no, like, screw it. Like, let's not do that then. Let's not have any flip charts. Let's not use any content per se. And let's just show up fully. And we had our questions that we wanted to put into the room to kickstart the conversations and let's see where it goes. And that is the biggest insight I came away with was, wow, that's what happens when you leave space. And, you know, for the listener, because I'm sure there are people who will be able to connect with what it feels like to go on a corporate offsite sometimes, or whether you, when you're putting together like a company all hands. And I'm going to talk with this as, you know, guilty as charged. You start off with this idea of what it could be, and you're like, you know, it'd be great. Like, it's all about connection and time for people to talk. And you know that that's really all that's required. And then you start getting caught up in the idea of, no, but we've got to make sure that they leave after a day or 2 days. We need to make sure that they leave, like, they got to know the strategy. And actually, we need to make sure that they know what they've got to do. And we need to give everyone a chance to kind of, we need to give all the people, like the heads of departments, a chance to speak. And all of a sudden, like, all the space is gone. She's jam-packed full of stuff. And yet then, you know, more often than not, when people say, oh, what was your favorite part of the event? They're like, lunchtime. Lunchtime was great. Why? I just got to chat to people I never spoke to before. You're like, all right. What about though, you know, when we talked you through the strategy, and they're like, yeah, no, that was. They have to tell you it was great because they're good, loyal corporate citizens. Yeah. But really, they're thinking it's fucking probably pretty boring. But it's just a trap we fall into. Like, let's stuff. And I'm again trying to do what you do so brilliantly, Billows, which is to try and ground this back out of like being some sort of ethereal thing into, no, you, like, we all recognize what it's like when we're so attached to the idea of what an outcome needs to be, that then we stuff the envelope with all the things that we think is going to create the outcome that we want. And I'm just putting a stick of dynamite in that. It's going, the outcome is going to be what it's going to be. And actually, if you let go of the outcome and just hold on to what the excitement you have, it's like, oh my God, this is what I'm in service of. And then you really resist the urge to kind of the intellect wanting to kind of try and make it your job and be like, no, what is my truth? And that is often far less than what you would be doing or being up to. And then you can allow space for, you can allow the space for magic to happen. And that's really hard, I think, in many ways, because the conditioning has been so strong. And yet, I don't know about you, and I'm curious where you'll take this, because I'm going to stop on this one. One of the number one things I hear people talk about wanting is space. I'd love to have more space. And I'm like, you've got tons of space. You just got to stop filling it full of shit.
And that actually came out beautifully during the course of the conversation. I think it was on day one, where one of the founders said that when they actually slow down to the pace of life, they're able to achieve so much more in terms of their productivity and just that sense of the span and the aperture that they can open up when they fall into that space. And that's the great irony of that is, you know, we cram our calendars and our agendas so full of stuff that we actually limit ourselves to such a narrow aperture of what's possible versus when we do consciously create that space and then fall into it, like the whole world opens up. And I'm not saying that to be hyperbolic. I mean, it literally does. And some of the founders pointed to that, you know, on that first morning. So yeah, I mean, I agree with you, mate. I'm like, I'll shove a couple more sticks of dynamite in that one alongside yours, because that's definitely worth blowing up. The one interesting thing I think that came out during the course of the discussion, and I alluded to our special guest. So our guest on Thursday was Peter Bauer, our former boss and our friend. And Pete arrived, and we deliberately did not give him the question we wanted him to address in advance. And so you literally gave it to him in the car ride on the way over to lunch. And the question you asked him is the question we ask every guest on this podcast. You know, what is the one truth or illusion that you've seen during the course of your journey that you would really like to demystify, blow up, and you wish everybody else could see? And Pete sort of gave a very eloquent insight into his journey, and I think the founders really found that quite exceptional. But then he addressed the question head on, and he said, the biggest illusion that I've seen is that leaders in particular feel that in order to lead an organization through, you know, seed, series A, B, C, IPO, private equity, purchase, exit, whatever it is, they feel that they have to change. They can't be themselves. They have to be something else. And I could get this kind of sense of a collective intake of air when he said it. And a couple of the founders in particular, I think, found that like a bit of a mind-blowing revelation. And you know, all credit to Pete. Like, Pete maintained that irreverent, mischievous, playful, authentic self, even during some of the hard, hard, dark days, even during wartime. And he kept that going. And so, and again, we didn't plan that. You know, we held it lightly that this was the right guest to bring in at this moment, and it was the right thing to do to feed him a question 5 minutes before he responded. And what he put into the room was exceptional. And it added to the depth, and it added to the grounding that everybody felt as they went through this 2-day journey. And I guess what I'm trying to say and what I'm pointing to here is the more you have faith, the more you trust in the way things will unfold, when you intentionally move towards them but hold everything delicately, the more magical it will be.
Yeah, no, well, like, you know that you're preaching to the converted. Peter's guest appearance was really impactful for me on a personal level. Because and I don't mind admitting it, like I have been judgmental of Peter at different points in my life, like when I worked for him, like and different things, because I'd be like, you know, you shouldn't be that way. Like you need to be this way. And you know, number one, living in my judgments definitely kept me trapped. And I'm going to kind of bring it back to what we're talking, because I don't want to go off on a sideline. But it was just really, it was really impactful for me to sit there, because as he said it, I was like, that is so true. Like the one thing, if anyone ever asked me, like, what would you say was one of Peter Bauer's like superpowers? And I'd be like, he was unapologetically Peter Bauer. And I think one of the things that stops people or gets in the way of their faith and allowing the unfolding to happen, and I know it is for me sometimes, is thinking that there is a way that we need to show up. Or, you know, that there's a should.
It's a great point.
I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And what will people think of me? And you know what? Like they're real thoughts, and they're just thoughts. And the truth of the matter is, like, who knows what anyone will think of you? But the power that I hear in what you're pointing to and what Peter pointed to is, but the real magic is the feeling of being yourself, and it's like it's the letting go of the idea that you need any outcome to happen in order for you to be good or complete or better or whole. Letting go there's any way that you have to show up in order to validate yourself in anyone else's eyes, and then coming back to home and being like, what's my truth in this moment? And you know, I've said it on here a few different times, you know, the expression, you know, just be yourself gets thrown around. And I'm like, there's no just. Like, being yourself is the number one game in town. And when that part of you, whatever part of you, has a bubbling up of something that you're like, wow, like an offsite in a forest with a cabin, that's you. Like, it's not the me. That is all of you. Like, that is the universe and you in concert with each other going, oh, hey, like this was for you. What do you want to do with it? This is for you. And that, what do you want to do with it, is really important, because it's probably the other thing that we saw, I think, so much last week is, man, there is a choice. Like, the choice just keeps getting presented to you over and over again, which is great because the universe never gets bored and like the system keeps working, even though we're sometimes getting in our way. Like, the great news is that the system doesn't ever get tired of you. The good news is we kind of get tired of our own bullshit, and so eventually we just get out of the way and then the magic happens again. So that's the really good news in all of this. And yet I bring us back to, there is a choice. And for me, last week just showed me the power of the choice to get out of the way. To get out of the way and trust. And the reward, the payoff, was amazing. And you know, sometimes the reward might not be as magical as it was last week. And yet, I have never regretted being true to myself. No matter what the outcome is, I'm like, oh, that's great. And when you're true to yourself, and then let's say the outcome is something that you go, oh, that wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. You're totally present to harnessing whatever gift is in that as well. And that is also the magic of it, is that by getting out of the way, by allowing the unfolding to happen, it's always a gift. even if they come wrapped in some like non-desirable wrapping paper.
Yeah, it boils down to one thing for me. And what last week did for me in terms of just my own grounding and my own what I saw and the deepening of my awareness is it all boils down to practice. And, you know, you and I hammer this home on this podcast. Yeah, the theory's lovely. Like you can understand that you are not your thinking. You can accept, even if you don't believe it, but you can hold lightly the idea that you are divine energy and form. Whatever divine means for you, you are divine energy and form. You have the ability to create your entire experience of life by making choices between stimulus and response and observing yourself doing it. And the more you observe yourself doing it, the more you fall into that awareness, the deeper your grounding, the deeper your awakening. But unless you actually go out there and practice that sacred pause between stimulus and response, unless you actually go out there and practice observing yourself, making those choices in those moments between stimulus and response, unless you actually go out there and practice observing what is being presented time and time again by the universe and the unfolding, and then exercising that free will to take the first step towards something and getting on that lightning path and observing that journey with what's that lovely phrase we used once? Is it disinterested curiosity?
I'm not one
or disinterested sure, fascination or
something like that. It's like that kind of sense of like, to me, it's like, I can't remember what it is, but it's like that unattached, but like, engage, like, oh, I'm disinterested fascination kind of sounds. I don't know if that is it, but I like that one.
Yeah. And so when you go on it with this kind of slightly unattached, disinterested curiosity and fascination, and you're not gripping the club too hard and you're witnessing what unfolds, that is the practice. And practice for other, you know, for the listener may involve breath work. It may involve having a mantra that instantly grounds you and pulls you back into your awareness. We don't care. We don't, like, we're not prescriptive and we certainly don't have the answers. But it boils down to the practice. And, you know, if I'm honest, mate, like last week, And the build up to last week, you know, with the so-called planning, and I put that in parentheses because it was very loosey-goosey, not in that we didn't know we wanted to produce amazing meals, not in the sense that we didn't want to create an incredible experience, and we took people on boat rides, and we, I mean, the weather was spectacular and the venue was spectacular, and there was a lot of thought given to how we interwove the sessions and how we interwove and dropped questions in at the right times, whether it was on the walks or in the sessions themselves or up at the farm. There was a lot of thought that went into that and a lot of planning. Again, the word planning being held lightly. Everything else, including that, was practice, because it was a a case of, okay, we are going to have a menu. We are going to go and do that shop. We are going to have an agenda, but we're holding it so lightly that it unfolded for us. And that it sounds weird when you say it. And it almost sounds a little arrogant because you're like, oh, well, you know, we just kind of like just showed up and it just kind of fell out in front of us. And, it, you know, the whole thing unfurled like a red carpet. But it kind of does, though. That's the freaking weird thing about it. It's kind of like you get the red carpet ride when you get out of your own way. And you can't understand why it's happening that way, but it just does. And it just keeps happening. And then you get to the end of the event and you're like, I feel light. I feel incredible. I feel grateful. We pulled off something spectacular and it was effortless. And you're like, what is going on here? Because I should be exhausted. Just hosted 7 people. I've cooked for 7 people 3 nights in a row. I've run around like a crazy person, you know, getting provisions and making sure the boat ride happens on time and the agenda runs on rails. And then you're like, yeah, that all happened, but I just kind of got out of the way and just let it happen as opposed to making it happen. And that's the difference. And so you walk away with your energy full, your heart is full, you have a lightness in your step, and you know you've put some good into the world, so you feel great. But it hasn't sucked the energy out of you. And the converse is like what you were saying about, and guilty as charged, like, geez, I spent my life designing these agendas and running crazy programs. Like the converse is you walk away from these things, you're like, holy shit, I don't know if I can do another 2-day, 3-day offsite because
I'm
exhausted and I just want to crawl into, I want to crawl into a corner and suck my thumb.
I have to say, like, as you've been talking, like, I have this sense of like, I've just been smiling my face off, just like at the sheer joy of remembering all of that. And I remember us putting the agenda together. I think it took us just under an hour. And then we were like, oh, that feels great. I guess we're done. And, you know, at some point we should just share it as an artifact because people were like, that's what you guys call an agenda. We were like, yeah, but it did. It felt right. And we were like, I guess we're done here. And then, so I love that. And I don't know, you said the red carpet, but I have this like just this image popped in my mind, and it's like people are going, you know, I really, really want, and when I say people, I include myself. I love a magic carpet ride. Like, I would love this to be easier. I'd love a magic carpet ride. And someone turns up and goes, oh, no worries. Like, here's the ticket. And they're like, it can't be that simple. You're like, no, like, here's the ticket. Like, there's the magic carpet ride. You don't even have to do anything. Like, you just have to show up and it'll be a magic carpet ride. And then our little intellect gets in the way and goes, no, I don't trust that. I'm going back over here and I'm going to get back into, they call this a hamster wheel. And I've already got the ticket for the hamster wheel. So I'm going to get back on there because... Like on the hamster wheel, yeah. I know that I'm doing good stuff because I'm sweating my balls off and, you know, like I'm working hard on the hamster wheel. So like I can, I won the magic carpet ride, but you know, what you pointed to me, that's make believe. So I'm going to stick with what I know because what I know is real. Like it's a hamster wheel, but it's my hamster wheel. And
yeah.
And so yeah. To me, it doesn't sound like arrogance. But I think I have no doubt that there will, that for our listener, like me, because there's a part of me that sometimes has been skeptical about this. And then to your point, it's choice and it's practice. But if you're listening and you're curious and you've got something where you're like, wow, I have something coming up where I have a sense of geez, I could just get out of the way and like see what happens. Like, buy the ticket. So only one way to find out. You have to buy the ticket. Don't buy the ticket, that's okay. No ticket though. Like the carbon ride's running whether you like it or not, but it'll feel like a hamster wheel. And that's because that's the world that we choose to go in. So if that's the metaphor that came up for me, and it's made me laugh at myself, because I know when I've been like, nah, I'm gonna get back in the hamster wheel, but I freaking love when I buy the ticket and choose to go, oh, there's nothing for me to do other than show up. It's like, yep. And then I do, and fuck. That's what we're talking about. It's like when you do it, and I'm going to hazard a guess that everyone listening knows what that feels like. And it's like, that's on offer all the time. And no harm, no foul. We all forget. And the joy is we get to remember. And the ticket's always just there. It's just like, ah, it's great. I'm back.
So that brings me to the bumper sticker for life to wrap up this podcast, this episode. And I'm going to steal what came up for us when we were kind of distilling after the glow of last week's event. And you and I were sitting there looking out across the water at this gorgeous palette of fall colors. And we said, you are life, and life is practice.
Yeah, man. There's a deep truth in that. That feels just so deeply true as you said it. I love that. I'm going to put one in just because one popped up for me as we're speaking, which doesn't feel anywhere near as powerful as that, but I'm going to say it anyway just because it's alive in me, so why not? The one that I would have to go with that, if it's meant to be, the universe will show it to me. That would be mine off the back of this convo. So two goodies there. Well, look at me calling that good, but fuck it. It's good to me. Two goodies there.
It's good to me too, brother. It's good to me too.
All right, matey. This has been a... Well, and just to kind of put a bow on it, this podcast episode could not have happened if last week hadn't happened. And last week couldn't have happened if everything hadn't happened all the way back to Edinburgh. And so just pointing to like everything that has ever happened has been exactly what is meant to happen so that we could have this conversation. And I freaking love that.
Well, that's what I love, what you said. Like what your friend Michael Singer says is 13.8 billion years of history had to happen for this exact moment to unfold exactly how it did. So I hear you. That echoes loud and true.
All right, folks. I think that is us done for this week. Hope you have enjoyed wandering with us. And we are super excited for us all as we go forth to buy our ticket, show up, and let the magic carpet ride do its thing. So enjoy the ride, live into your brilliance, and we will see you or be with you again next week. Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey, unraveling the innate brilliance within every human being. We hope today's episode has sparked new thoughts and inspired fresh perspectives. Remember, the power to shatter illusions and unleash your true potential lies within you. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite platform. If you'd like more insights and daily doses of inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram at @AlKennyCoaching. Or you can connect with myself and Mark on LinkedIn, where we will share articles and perspectives about unlocking your innate brilliance. Remember, you are capable of extraordinary things. Keep believing, keep exploring, and keep shining brightly. Take care and stay brilliant.